Helen, I just looked at these numbers. They're pretty grim.
Those are computer costs.
Didn't we pay for those systems last quarter?
We did, but those are training costs.
Well, let me get this straight. We're spending more on training than we did on the computers? Boston doesn't show these costs.
They use a different system.
So?
Apparently with their computers, the people can train themselves.
The best 30 plus minute app conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Join me today. He keeps an iPhone in his right pocket and brass knuckles in his left. Leander Caney is here.
Hey.
Also with us, his Cult-O-Mac duties include running Cult-O-Mac, waking Leander Caney for important meetings, and hiding all the empty Stella bottles when Mrs. Caney comes by. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, it's great to Hey-o. Be here.
Also with us, you call it roadkill. He calls it dinner time. Buster Caney is here.
Oh, hey.
Life on the road's tough.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
You got to take your meals where you can get them.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you guys about the story that one time I was in this train of cars? We were going somewhere, like a football game or something. It was night. You know, it was shenanigans, just all these dudes in the car. And we pulled over for some reason. I have no idea why. One of the guys gets out of the car and he grabs something and starts throwing it at our car. It was snowing. So I think he thought it was snow, but we turned and you could see that he was actually reaching his hands into the carcass of like a raccoon or something.
What?
And he didn't even know. He didn't even know he was grabbing roadkill. Yeah,
he was
gross.
Chucking bits of entrails.
Yeah, yeah.
My God, sounds like something out of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, right. I can hear Buster's beard getting wet over there. He's like, ooh, that sounds tasty. There's nothing I like more than a nice squirrel steak. Okay, well, here's what we're gonna do this episode. There's nothing. We got nothing, but I scraped the very bottom of the barrel. And I think I came up with some good stuff. And, you know, I was telling Leander before we started recording, this is what we do on this show. We take stories that are awfully mundane and we dress them up. We make them real nice. We add some jokes. Poof! One of the best Apple episodes you'll ever hear. So here's what we got. How to get the best Black Friday deals. We always do this episode way too late. We end up doing it on Thanksgiving when Black Friday is the day after, and no one has a chance to actually take advantage of these deals. So we're going to talk about how to get the best Black Friday specials a whole week ahead so you actually have time to hear the episode and go out and get yourself some good deals. Plus, we finally know the cost of the new MacBook Pro GPUs. You probably heard about this, but what's more interesting than this is I'm on a quest to get Apple to upgrade my 2-month-old MacBook Pro. I'm taking aggressive steps to get my machine replaced. And I'll tell you where I'm at right now. I think they're going to do it. I have high hopes. Also, we'll talk about the iPhone XR. Everyone thinks it's tanking. I love mine. You all know that. In fact, I just posted a video about this on the Cult-O-Mac YouTube channel. We should mention that. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's just the news about the iPhone, but it's causing Apple's stock to absolutely tank. We'll talk about their insane stock price and why it's actually a really great time to buy. And, of course, you should keep in mind that this is also coming from a guy who bought when their stock was very high and then immediately dropped like 40% afterwards. So keep that in mind as we give you stock advice. And we'll wrap up with a Steve Jobs story I don't think you've ever heard before. And I'll tell you what, it's not that exciting. But the internet seems to be fascinated with it, and I found it to be mildly amusing. And we need something cool to wrap up on, so I said, why not this? So we'll tell you the Steve Jobs story.
We didn't have a lot of choice, did you, really?
Look, so. It's the week before Thanksgiving. You can cut us a break, okay? Let's see here. Before we dive into this week's episode, let me give a very hearty thanks to OpsGenie for supporting this episode. Incidents happen. Thankfully, OpsGenie empowers devs and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues and helps to notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths. With OpsGenie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit OpsGenie.com to sign up to get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's OpsGenie.com. OpsGenie.com. Never miss a critical alert with OpsGenie. also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Do you need a new website? Maybe you have a skill set that you want to promote online. Maybe you have a product that you want to sell. Maybe you have a business and no one's coming to your business because you don't have a website and people don't know you exist if you don't have a website. Well, Squarespace makes it about as easy as it can possibly be to put a website up quick, but the website will be beautiful. You go in, you choose the template from all these templates that they have set up. They all are beautiful. They have world-class designers over there at Squarespace. And in mere moments, you'll have a website up and running. But if you are so inclined, you can dive into the template and customize absolutely everything. It's all drag and drop. You won't need any help from anyone else. You can do this all yourself, which is the best part about Squarespace. And make the website look uniquely yours. And if you want, you can turn on the e-commerce functionality. It's included with your website subscription and start selling products too. So you can do it all from squarespace.com. Plus they're always adding new features. I mean, constantly they're adding new templates, they're adding new features, new integrations with these other services that are out there to help you run your website. I mean, you'll be like Bert in Mary Poppins. You guys remember that scene where he's dancing? He's got like the cymbals on his knees and the drum. He's playing the horn at the same time. Surely Leander does.
Don't I know leave that me scene hanging, well, Leander. Yeah.
Fantastic. You're a one-man band is what I'm trying to communicate. You'll be a one-man band with your website. You'll be able to do it all by yourself. You won't need to wait around waiting for people to help you. But if you want to bring in contributors, you can, and they can help you add content to your website. Anyway, check it out, squarespace.com/cultcast. Start the 2-week free trial, and if you like your website at the end of the trial, you can use code CULTCAST to check out. You'll save 10% off your first order, and if you order a year of service, you'll get a free domain name and an additional discount at squarespace.com/cultcast. Do you really know the scene I'm talking about, Leander? Do you actually know what I'm talking about?
No. What was it again?
Mary Poppins. I thought you would for sure know what this movie was. Bert from Mary Poppins?
I haven't seen it for a long time.
Really? Anybody else seen Mary Poppins recently?
Are you kidding me?
Like the old one?
Come on.
No,
I watch it like 4 times a week. But
no, you have little girls though.
the kids like Mary Poppins. Yeah. But yeah, also sometimes I just watch by myself. That bird gets me. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, we gotta talk about these Radeon Pro Vega graphics first. So Apple's done it a mere 4 months, almost to the day. The 15-inch MacBook Pro gets a huge, massive GPU upgrade. They just added them to their website as options for the new MacBook Pro. This is the 15-inch higher tier model is the one that you have to select if you want to configure your machine with the new Radeon Pro Vega graphics. They have two models, the Vega 16, which is a $250 upgrade, and the Vega 20, which is a $350 upgrade. Now, these upgrades are actually way cheaper than I thought they were going to be. I thought we were looking at like $400, maybe $500 for the top tier GPU. It's only $250 for the Vega 16. This makes it sting even more because I would have for sure configured my machine if I had known. If only Apple had told us when they released the machines that they were going to be doing this, because they clearly knew that they were going to be doing this. And in case you're wondering, a maxed out 15-inch MacBook Pro is now $7,049. If you just max it out across the board, $7,049.
Is that all?
Right? That's it. That's it, Liz. Are you going to get one?
I'm not sure what kind of gas mileage it gets.
it's very high. Tim Cook mandated that it be very high. So $7,049. So here's what I'm going to do. And actually, if you're as pissed about this as I am, if you're editing videos, if you're a graphics professional, I think Apple actually owes it to everyone who purchased a machine in the last 3 months to upgrade in this manner. I've called the Apple store. I asked to talk to a manager. And the guy was like, you know how they talk to you real cool? They're not like normal customer service agents. They're like, hey man, what's going on? What can I do for you today? Right. And I was like, I was kind of taken aback, right? I was like, oh, hi, hello. And I said, oh, you know, I got a problem with my MacBook Pro purchase. He's like, oh, buddy, I'm sorry to hear that. What can we do for you? And I was like, well, I'm really frustrated with my purchase. I'm hoping that I can talk to a manager. And he said, he's like, I can make that happen for you, big guy. Don't you worry. So he collected my information. And he said, I'm going to have the manager call you back right away. They're with some people right now, but they're going to get back to you tonight. Well, that was yesterday, and I still haven't heard anything. So,
there you go. That's why that's so casual, because it's like, he scrunches it up as soon as you hang up and then throws in the trash.
Yeah, he didn't write down anything. He was just giving me lip service.
She was making scribbling sounds with his mouth.
Everyone in the background is just laughing silently, right? Slapping their knee. Right. Yeah, so I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go in there this weekend, and I'm basically just going to beg. I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to spray something, some adjutant in my eye to make them start watering and make them all red, right? I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to grovel. I'm going to say, look, man, I really need the best Apple machine because I'm going to be using it for the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, and I really had it configured just the way I wanted it, and you guys only upgrade once every year, but you tricked me this time, and you upgraded a mere 3 months afterwards. And I'm just going to grovel and make that manager feel so bad that they're going to say, look, we'll trade in your machine. You give us the extra money for the GPU, and we'll just let you swap it in. Now, I already had somebody on Twitter use this same strategy. Now, he didn't grovel. He went in there like a real man and just asked them to swap it out. And they did it. They did it for him.
Well, because Buster, you remember your buddy that used to work in the Apple store, the genius?
Yeah.
Didn't he say that they would do more or less anything to placate angry customers?
Yeah, and I think they have like a certain amount of money too that they're able to like
really
use within reason, I think, but not totally sure. So
it seems reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to be just a big whiny baby. It really does seem like a poor move to screw over all your customers and sell a computer that you know you're going to be upgrading with much better GPUs when you position this machine as the portable video editing dream machine. And yet, as you're taking money from customers who are eager to buy a machine that hasn't been appropriately updated in the last 5 years, they know that they're going to be upgrading with a GPU that's going to be massively better than the one you're paying them for in 3 months. So I feel like I'm on the right side of history here, so to speak. And I'll let you guys know what happens. But I think that they're probably going to go for it. I'm going to be real nice. And if this doesn't work, Leander, then I'll drop a few names. I'll be like, hey, do you know who Leander Caney is? No? How about
Bruce
Wallace?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Right. That's when they pick me up from my belt and throw me out the front door. And the security guards all come out and all tase me at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to try that. I'll try dropping a few names, and I think the key is to be nice, to be firm, but
have
to be
tried,
nice.
What about running to Tim?
I thought about doing that too, but this guy on Twitter was saying that his store did it for him, and they didn't even make much of a fuss out of it. So I figured, you know what, I'll try the store first, and if they say no, then I'll go straight to Tim, and I'll grovel even worse, and I'll have like pictures of me next to my MacBook looking very sullen and forlorn. And I'm going to start. I already have the whole thing mapped out. I'm like, you know, Tim, like many of the emails that you get, this one comes from a longtime loyal Apple customer, but Apple's betrayed my trust. I mean, I know just what to say. And it's all true. I'm not lying. It's all true. So I'm going to give them an opportunity to make it right. And I think that what I'm asking them to do is the right thing to do because they really did screw us over. This is really, I mean, what company, what freaking company releases a product and then 3 months later releases a significantly better version of that product after not having updated their machine in over a year? Who does that? It's totally crazy. Now, I appreciate that Apple's trying to keep the newest hardware in their machines. I do appreciate that. But again, I know I'm repeating myself for the fourth time, but they should have told us. They should have let us know. So we'll see how that goes. I'll update you guys. I'm going to go in there this weekend if they don't call me back today, and it looks like they're probably never going to call me, so I'm going to go in there and beg in person because I find that to be the most effective when you're trying to get something that you want. Okay, let's talk about Black Friday deals. Whose story was this? Was this yours, Buster?
No, because I don't
Killian.
Give any hoots about this.
You don't give any hoots about Black Friday deals?
I can't say that I'm bought into Black Friday. Like
you're
you
not going to try and get a deal on several very short pairs of jean shorts?
No, I mean, I just don't feel like you should buy things just because it's on sale.
Really? That's why I buy things. Sometimes I buy things I don't even need because they're on sale.
No. What kind of American are you? No. Jeez.
I've finally like gotten my materialism out of me, it feels like.
Well, you live in a van.
He's got limited room.
Yeah,
exactly. I hate it when people give me free stuff. I'm like, no, dude, I got room for the van.
You're maxed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like if you live in a limited space, it makes it easier to not want to buy more crap and carry it around
with you. Right, yeah. You know, you're not going to be lined up for an 85-inch TV.
I almost bought a TV last night just because it was on sale. I got caught up in the excitement of it. People on this website were like, oh my gosh, this was such an insane deal. I can't believe they're marking this TV down this much. It was a Vizio, which I know almost nothing about. Uh-huh. And I started thinking, I need a new TV. Right? So I'm like going back and forth. It's 1 a.m. I'm laying in bed with my iPad trying to figure out whether or not I should spend $1,000 on a TV. And I eventually came to my senses. I'm like, I don't need a $1,000 TV.
They're well reviewed, those ones, those Vizio ones.
Are they?
Yeah.
I missed the deal. I think it's too late.
I don't know if you've been reading about it because, you know, they were sort of a cheapo vendor, you know, mm-hmm. But then they've come out the last couple of years, some of the highest rated TVs that are cheap.
That's really cheap TVs. That's what the people in the thread were saying. They were saying it was like a Vizio Quantum Dot P television. I don't know if I just totally obliterated that model, but it was something like that. And they were saying that even next to OLED televisions, these TVs have some of the highest rated pictures around. And it was only like $1,100. So I can't believe
how big.
It was 65 inches. 65 for $1,000. For a cool thou? Whew. I couldn't believe it. That's a cheap television. I mean, the TVs I was looking at, the OLEDs, the Sonys, they were like $3,000, which is why ultimately I just gave up and I ended up not buying one.
That's too much, yeah.
Yeah, it's way too much money. So, and OLEDs have issues. They have burn-in issues and they're not very bright. I mean, so this looked like a nice deal. But anyway, I didn't buy it. I got caught up in the deals, though, and I was thinking, what other Black Friday deals am I trying to get my hands on?
I know, right.
Do you guys have anything in mind that you actually want, Leander? Do you have anything?
That I want?
Yeah, that you actually want to get this Black Friday.
Oh, I had some bike stuff. But
of course. I should have
guessed that. Yeah, not really. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards Buster. We were just trying to clean out our basement, you know, which is like a... It's like an episode of, you know, Horde of Nightmare. There's so much stuff down there, and of course we started arguing about, you know, let's get rid of this. No, the kids might need that one day, you know. The full
they might
coffee.
Need that trike, that kid trike someday.
Exactly. We couldn't even get rid of our old Thomas the Tank Engine. There's a whole box of Thomas the Tank Engine toys and boxes of Lego, and I'm like, come on, we need to donate this stuff to some school, local school, you know?
Yeah, right. But was that something that your kids used to use?
Yeah, they're all toys.
Yeah, that's tough.
That you know, there's a certain sort of sentimental argument to be made for keeping that stuff, but you know, not the three different coffee pots, you know, that we're keeping, you know, because my daughter's in Spain right now. She's coming back in 6 months. She's probably going to like have her own apartment. So my wife's saving all this stuff for her for when she moves into her apartment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm like, you know, a toaster, a crummy old beaten up toaster, you know, that probably cost $20, and we could probably, you know, I don't know. Let's just get rid of it, for God's sake. There's so much stuff lying around. Anyway. To cut long story short, no, I don't know. There's nothing really I'm looking out for, no. I want to get rid of stuff. I want to go minimalist. It's all a burden.
No, you think a 65-inch television is a burden?
Well, I don't know about that, yeah.
Well, you can put it that way. Lewis, how about a nice, highly polished, some type of metallic belt to keep your darts in?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. This whole Black Friday thing, just it's always baffled me. I never understand why all these people like, actually, you're not going to go to a store, right?
Oh, no, I would never go to the store.
All right.
I never go to the store, period.
That, to me, is crazy. Yeah. I just got my shopping fix. I just got it last weekend, man. Our refrigerator burned out. I had to like rush out and buy a refrigerator. And you know what I discovered is, I guess I didn't realize this, but Black Friday is now like a month-long event. I mean, it's so stupid that they call everything's a Black Friday deal. You know, I go into the Best Buy. Look, Black Friday deals on appliances. It's like they're available now, but
they have Black January or Black July now too. They have all these summer Black events.
That's crazy.
Where they just mark stuff. I love it. I mean, the more discounts, the better, I think.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes there are these things that are like actually so good that it's unbelievable. But basically, I think America is just like the land of the constant sale. I mean, I get emails from people all the time, you know, like every day, ending today, 30% off, whatever the hell item it is. And then the very next day, 30% off the item. It's like it just never stops. Everything's on sale. Nobody. That's what's kind of bizarre about Apple is they don't do that. in a way that it's kind of refreshing, you know?
They do that. They just don't do it on Apple.com. But their new strategy is they liquidate all this equipment through other retailers like Adorama, like B&H. They're constantly having those MacBook Pro sales. And have you noticed they'll have massive discounts on their previous version of a certain machine, like the 2017 MacBook Pro. I saw a deal on that the other day. You could get a fully spec'd out 2017 MacBook Pro with a 2 terabyte hard drive or SSD, and it was I think $2,600. $2,600 for 2 terabytes of SSD. That is an insane deal. So Apple doesn't do it directly through Apple, but they're doing it through all this whole network of retailers now. I think this is something they've been doing for like the last 5 or 6 years. Instead of retiring a machine, they just keep making it and selling it at a discount via all these different websites. Anyway, you guys, we're talking about Black Friday. No one wants anything but me, and there's all these insane deals going on. I'll tell you one of the things
What do you want to get? You know, the one thing I do want to get? I want to get the new iRobot that automatically empties its bin.
What is it? Like a AI-powered trash can?
It has a docking station that is like a vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. So when the robot comes back after sweeping up all the, you know, pet hair, it sucks it out of the bin. Because we've got these, you know, every day we have an iRobot, and it's actually pretty good, but the bin fills up every single day with all this pet hair from these damn pets.
Hold on, is this like a Roomba, like a robot that drives?
A Roomba, right, yeah.
You've got one of those things?
Yeah.
How well does it work?
It's, I don't know, pretty good. You know, to be honest, almost every single day there's an issue. It falls down a hole, or it gets stuck somewhere.
Or gets attacked by your deranged dog.
the dog and the cat completely ignore it. They don't pay any mind at
your
all.
Your dog ignores it? I thought your dog was literally a little devil.
Well, no,
that
if we get the vacuum
vicious.
Cleaner out, it starts to attack the vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
He'll chew on that. So we have to lock him away.
Roomba,
the vacuum
huh?
cleaner comes out, but not with the Roomba. But the Roomba is always like the biggest issue is that the bin is always full.
So let me get this straight. You have a vacuum that does your vacuuming for you. It just drives around your house vacuuming while you're gone. But you don't like the fact that the bin gets full, so you want to buy another robot to clean out the first robot's
right.
bin. God bless America. I love this country.
It's a new model that comes with a special dock that sucks all this stuff out of the bin.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it means upgrading the robot, which I just bought like a couple of years ago.
Well, a couple of years ago is not just. I mean, you need a new one.
Well, it still works fine.
You need to throw the old one away.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. Complete what? Just put it straight in the trash can.
Well, Cultimax is going to be tracking Black Friday deals, right, Leander?
Yes.
We got to promote this post. So
yeah, we're
doing
it already.
About
yeah.
It.
Yeah, we're already on it.
Oh my gosh!
It's already started.
The live blog has already started. We're putting things in there. Like, here's what's coming. One thing I just saw in there: HomePod, $249.
I saw this. Is this the one at Best Buy?
At Best Buy,
$250.
Wow.
And you know,
don't tell anyone.
I'd like to take this opportunity to say, called it. I knew they're going to be discounting these things like crazy because I don't think they're selling too well.
That's pretty exciting. 25% off Apple Watch bands.
That's at the Cultimax store, right?
Oh, well, these are... No. I'm sure there's some kind of deal in the works. We'll have to ask somebody who knows.
Well, Leander, let's not pretend like we don't know. Leander was dying to promote the store. Leander, is there some ridiculous sale, like some insane you-can't-miss-it sale?
Yeah, yeah, we're working on it now. We've got some insane deals. 45% off some of these bands.
Whoa!
45%! 45? Yeah, that's a good one. So it's going to be across the board. It's going to be like, you know, some are going to be 10%, some are going to be 20%, some are going to be 45%. But we're trying to put together like a package of, savings on a whole bunch of different bands and accessories. And we'll be rolling that out hopefully next week. Before Black Friday.
Hopefully you get it out by Friday. Would be good.
Hopefully we'll get it together before then. But yeah.
You're going to be having a Black Saturday, maybe Black Tuesday by the time your post goes out.
Yeah.
So I'll link to this post in the show notes. And of course, we'll have all these deals that are things that you will probably care about on this Cultimax post. You know, things that are tailored towards people who follow
Apple.
Right,
this is all
Apple
stuff, yeah. So Killing's been doing a good job of putting it all together. So.
Fantastic. And another strategy that I have, these are some of my personal strategies that I use. Now, I love to get a good deal. I don't know if you guys have figured that out about me. I love getting a deal. I'll go through all sorts of hoops to get a good deal. There's an app and a website that I've promoted before, and it works so well, especially during this time of year. It's called slickdeals.com. They also have an app, and it is like a crowd-sourced app where people from all over the internet bring deals to this website, and then they vote them up and down, and you can see different categories of stuff. I use this app all throughout the year, but it becomes particularly handy during Black Friday because they'll actually scan all the different Black Friday ads from all the different retailers. So right in the iPhone app, you can literally just scroll through the different ads from all the different companies that do the big deals. And then, of course, once Black Friday hits, it just goes absolutely apeshit in there. I mean, people are just throwing deals left and right. What I love about Black Friday is the rest of the year, it's all these companies pretending to have deals like, oh man, save 25%, but they jack the price way up, or it's 25% off of the full price and not the sale price. I mean, there's all these shenanigans they use. Black Friday is when you actually get deals. You'll see deals that you can't match. I got a deal on an SSD via the Slick Deals app. They pinged me on Black Friday, and this SSD was on sale for $100 on Amazon. I got it. That SSD is still selling on Amazon for $170. It's 2 years later. That's how good of a deal I got on it. So you can find really great deals via Slick Deals. So keep an eye there. Keep an eye on Cultimax post about this. One other website I just found out about that I thought was worth mentioning. This is not really for Black Friday, but if you're looking for a great deal, I just used it to lock down a camera lens. Ooh, Buster. Oh. I got a 16mm Fujinon lens through this website.
Nice.
I also got the X-T3.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. It's called greentoe.com. Greentoe.com.
Green Toe? And you mean like a rotten gangrenous like toe?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Have you heard of it? That's exactly what they named it off of. Yeah, it's strange. But here's how it works. With Green Toe, they have a network of authorized dealers for all these various products. So you go on there and you just tell them what you want to pay, and they have this little meter that shows you how likely it is that your deal will be, or that your price will be accepted. So you just kind of tailor it just so like it's kind of like in the orange, between the orange and green zones, and then you send it out. It sends your offer to all these different retailers, and the retailers can accept your price, or they can counter your offer, which is what happened to me. So I got a $1,000 lens. This is from a authorized dealer for $787, which is an insane deal for a lens. I mean, normally deals on camera equipment are very, very few and far between, and the only way to get a deal is if you buy them in like lots. You buy the camera and a bunch of lenses at the same time. But during this time of year particularly, there are a lot of rebates available. So I got a smoking hot deal on Green Toe from a factory authorized dealer. So that's another option for you if you want to get a good deal. So Green Toe, Slick Deals, the Cultimac website. If you're looking for a good deal, unlike these dudes who are, you know, they're like Buddhist monks. They walk around in orange robes. They don't want to have any products in their lives. They just want to drink tea and meditate. If you're not like them, if you're more like me, if you're looking for some hot deals on some hot gadget, these are your strategies that you need to use.
Oh, God.
You like that?
How much was your initial offer for that lens? Like, you know, $20?
I offered them $750. No, so like I said, they have a meter that will show you how likely it is that your offer will be accepted.
Okay,
so you just keep raising it until it's like a red to a green meter, and I just position it so that the needle is like right between orange and green, so that people aren't going to be like, this guy is a total chode. We're not even going to bother responding to, this guy seems like he's got potential. Maybe if I counter a little bit, he'll bite. And that's exactly what happened. So yeah. And now I've got the X-T3, which is just, man, what a camera. What a camera. I just started using it though, so I'm kind of like learning the ropes. Okay. Let's talk about iPhone XR. But before we do that, before we talk about the stock price at Apple, let me say thank you to the NSA for supporting this episode. That's right. We have friends in powerful places, the National Security Agency. Almost every day we hear something on the news about a cyber attack. Sometimes it's just a bunch of pranksters, but more often it's a foreign country with vast cyber resources trying to hack our power grid, our banking systems, or our military's information networks. The National Security Agency plays a big part in protecting our country from cyber attacks, and you can help. The NSA is hiring technical professionals to serve on the front lines of information security. If you work in computer science, networking, programming, or electrical engineering, you can help keep our country safe. Design new hardware systems and networks, write faster, smarter programs, protect America's critical infrastructure, or help uncover what our adversaries are planning to do next. Learn more about careers at the National Security Agency today. Visit intelligencecareers.gov/NSA. intelligencecareers.gov/NSA. Whew. We've got sponsors in powerful places. I've got connections now at the NSA, Leander. You wouldn't believe the kind of favors I'm getting.
Spying on Buster?
I've got some very salacious spy pics of Buster. The other day, this guy cut me off in traffic, and I said, guys, can we do something about these poor drivers on the road? This guy cut me off, and my contact there said, well, did you catch his license plate number? And I said, well, yeah, I did. Give the guy the license plate number. He's gone. No one's seen him for weeks. I heard that a bunch of black SUVs surrounded his car on the freeway, forced him off at an exit he doesn't usually take. He hasn't shown up at his job for 2 weeks.
Cool. I'd like to do that for a whole bunch of people around here.
So you get me some license plate numbers from the guys at 9 to 5 Mac, Leander. I'm going to make some magic happen for you.
Oh, my God.
Don't you worry. yeah. So let's see here. Where are we? Okay. Let's talk about the iPhone XR. Now, I love my iPhone XR. In fact, there's 10 reasons why I chose it over the iPhone XS and XS Max. And if you haven't seen my new video on Cult Max YouTube channel, it's blowing up. We have hundreds of views on this video, right, Leander?
Mm-hmm.
And so many different comments. So I'll link to that in the show notes as well. I just posted it today, and I would appreciate it if you go take a little gander. And if you like it, maybe leave a thumbs up. And if you really dislike it, two thumbs down, I think, is appropriate. And I won't even be offended, okay? So Ming-Chi Kuo just lowered his estimates for the number of iPhone XR units that will sell over the next year. He was previously pretty bullish on the XR, and he thought it was going to sell like crazy. I still think it's going to sell like crazy. We'll see what happens. But Goldman Sachs, they piled on. They're also concerned, writing a note to investors saying that they're concerned that the end demand for the new iPhone models is deteriorating. Well, I don't know if that's what caused this crash, but the Apple stock has crashed over the last 3 weeks. And I take responsibility at least somewhat, because anytime I buy stock, which I told you guys I just did, embarrassing myself, because immediately after the stock price totally tanked. I think I bought it at $223. As of this recording, I think it's at $187. So that means in the last 3 weeks, it's dropped $45 a share. That's about 19%, a 19% drop. Leander, I'm going to put you on the spot. Any thoughts, any ideas why iPhone or the Apple stock is doing as badly as it is all of a sudden? Is there anything else? Any other news items that we're missing?
Yeah, because stock shorts like Ming-Chi Kuo are shorting it, and they're driving it down with all these spurious stories about.
You think that he's got some nefarious investing strategy happening here?
I don't know. I'm always like a little bit suspicious about, you know, all these reports like from DigiTimes and other sort of shady supply chain sources saying that production's been cut. I mean, we hear these stories every single year, and I think a lot of it is to do with, you know, people trying to short the stock. This one I'm not so sure, because there's also been reports from the suppliers, right? Some suppliers have downgraded their estimates, you know, for upcoming quarters. So yeah, if the suppliers are hurting, it's like a corroborating evidence, you know.
But didn't we hear this exact same nonsense about iPhone X?
Yeah,
and we heard that suppliers were cutting stock and.
And we hear it every year, but, you know, no matter what the product is, there's always these rumors. And I think a lot of it does come from stock shorts, you know. But, you know, in this case, maybe there is something to it. I don't know. It's hard to say. And, of course, you know, Apple, I think I think the most damaging thing was that Apple saying they're not going to report numbers anymore, which is putting the heebie-jeebies up a lot of people thinking that, we're in for, a year or two or maybe longer of flat or declining sales. That it's all over for the iPhone. So, that I think is probably the most important factor, I would say.
I think you're probably right. In fact, that that particular situation lends credibility to this story.
Right.
Apple's trying to hide how bad the iPhone's going to be doing in the future.
Yeah, yeah, it's right. Totally.
How not amazing it's going to be doing. I mean,
yeah, sorry.
You know,
that's right.
I mean, the whole thing of like, oh my God, we got to sell, they got to sell more every single quarter, every single quarter. It's not possible. There's right. like, what, there's a billion devices in use? I mean, they keep working. But
that's not what Wall Street wants to hear, Lewis.
Well, yeah, I'm aware of that. But Apple is
already... How not amazing the iPhone's going to do. I wish you were writing these press releases, because then my initial investment wouldn't be worth like half of what it's it originally was. Yeah, so he brings up some other good points. He was talking about how he thinks one of the things that could be lending or could be making it that the iPhone XR isn't selling very well is the fact that it's actually not very cheap compared to other Android phones, which I thought was an interesting point. He talks about how the Galaxy S9 is $30 cheaper than the XR, and the Galaxy S9 is Samsung's premium phone, and it's still cheaper than the XR, which is not Apple's premium phone. And then there is the 64 gigabyte Pixel 3, which looks to be an incredible phone. In fact, if I were going Android, that's the one I would go for. It's only $50 more than the XR. And then there's the Galaxy Note, which is $1,000. So that's not that much more than the iPhone XR. So Apple's phones are priced way higher than virtually everything else on the market. Now, compared to the XS, XS Max, the iPhone XR actually is a lot less expensive. But compared to other Android phones, it's really not that much better. And it's considered to be Apple's budget phone. So maybe it's like a positioning issue. People look at the iPhone and they say, well, I can get a premium Android phone for the same price. Why would I buy the XR? I don't know. I love my XR.
I don't think many,
don't know.
You know, if you look at those charts, there's not a lot of Android switches. There's not a lot of people coming, swapping out their iPhone for an Android. It's in fact the other way around. Well, plus it was an interesting chart that came out yesterday, I think, where it showed like Apple's profit margins compared to the price of the iPhones, and that even though the price of phones have been going up, that's sort of like it's a steady incline. The profit margins remain the same. So you know, these are the reason they're charging these high prices is because they're much more expensive to produce.
Well, regardless, if you've been thinking about buying Apple stock, now keep in mind, I'm not an investor. And
clearly not,
and not a very good one at that. I am an investor. Yeah.
What made you buy? What made you buy stock now? What were you thinking?
This is what always happens. This is what always happens. People look at the prices; they're going up, and they go up for months and months and months. And in Apple's case, for years. And you say, "Oh my gosh, this is a sure thing, right?" I mean, it couldn't possibly go down. Warren Buffett just bought like another 18 billion shares, so. I do think it's gonna go back up eventually, but I didn't think it would drop this much. So I just figured, you know what the heck? It's the end of the year. Toss some money in Apple stock and leave it in there for a couple years. I mean, I'm not trying to get my money out of it right away. I'm not day trading or anything, but I've never had an investment drop this fast. I take that back. The only thing Bitcoin. I had dropped this fast was when I invested in Bitcoin. I dropped in Bitcoin, and like within 48 hours, my investment was half of its original value.
Yeah, me and my brother bought some Bitcoin. Same story.
Same exact story. I saw a GIF of a guy saying, what happens when I buy Bitcoin, and he buys, and then immediately like there's like this line graph and it just drops straight through the floor and crashes through. That's exactly what I feel like happens to me.
It's now officially worthless, isn't it? Isn't it like the lowest point it's ever?
Really?
You're kidding. I haven't even looked at it in months. I stopped
I sent him a link to an article yesterday.
I've got so many friends that swore by Bitcoin and are heavily invested in it. I only put in $100. I just wanted to see what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So I only lost like 50, but man, if you had like $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 invested, you're gonna be crying yourself to sleep tonight and every night.
Well, there were some horrible stories, weren't there, about the people who did that? Who, like, you know, who read all that hype and then they put all their lifetime and savings in.
Yeah, yeah. The Wild West. People were making money hand over fist in Bitcoin. I mean, as many stories as you heard about people losing money, you hear about those few individuals that had gotten in early and then would make millions of dollars off $1,000 investments. So it's incredibly... provocative when you hear those kinds of stories and you think, ooh, maybe I can make a few hundo if I just drop in, you know, a few $100. Maybe I can make some money. But yeah, the only people that made money are the guys that stole all your stole all your money immediately right. after you invested it. Okay, let's wrap up with this story. The Steve Jobs story that you've probably never heard. And it's a whopper. It's fascinating. It's exciting. I think that they're probably going to make a movie about this particular story because it's so action-packed.
The cue.
The headline. There you go. Bingo. We found the title. Someone call Aaron Sorkin. We've got the title. Now we just need the script. You can whip this up into something interesting. The story being, in 2016, someone on the website Quora asked a question about Steve Jobs. And the person who answered was someone he wasn't expecting, and the mundane fact he shared is still being upvoted on Quora to this very day. The question was, what are some lesser-known facts about Steve Jobs? Brett Bilbrey, who joined Apple in 2002 and retired in 2014 as its head of technology, was the one who responded to the question. And he said, Steve Jobs, it turns out, used to wait in the lunch line just like everybody else.
Dang.
Whoa, no way.
Boom. That's all the cool cast we have for you guys. Well, hold on. Let me complete the story because I do think there's an interesting discussion to be had here. So he went on to say that Steve Jobs would often stand behind him in the lunch line. And quote, I'm quoting now, he would often ask me to hold his place while he went to check other food stations, Bilbrey wrote. Once when this happened, another employee got in line behind me and I turned around and I told them, just so you know, I'm saving this spot for Steve. Can you imagine? If someone said that to you, you're like, all right, dude. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. Well, the employee laughed and thought I was kidding. He goes on to say, yeah, right. It's like Steve is going to show up and cut in line. Well, while he was saying that, Steve had returned and was behind him in line and heard his comment. And Steve said, I'm not going to cut in line. He was holding my spot for me. So the guy turned around and saw it was Steve. And the employee's face turned white and he started shaking. And instead of just making room for Steve, he kind of just slinked away. As you know what would have happened right. to me? I would have turned into that mist from the Avengers, like Thanos had gotten rid of me, and my essence would have blown away in the wind. That's what would have happened to me. All that would have been left would be a small turd and maybe a puddle of pee-pee on the floor. So Steve nodded to me and said, thanks. They pulled out his phone and started checking his email while he waited. Now, here's why I think this story is interesting, besides the fact that he turned some man ghost white and had him evaporate. That's because Steve didn't give a crap about feelings, people's feelings ever. I mean, he used to park in handicapped spots. He would constantly have his license plate changed out for that temporary plate because he didn't want to have a final plate on his car. Don't you find that interesting, Leander, that he actually cared enough about people's feelings, thinking that he would be cutting in line, that he would go and have someone save his spot in line when he walked around and checked out other food stations?
Yeah, yeah, it is a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Because you'd think he would just like sort of, you know, cut, like I said, you know, disabled spot, right? He would just like sort of cut in and I've got to go to a meeting. Don't mind me. I'm just going to grab something real quick and keep going. But then the whole, you know, the Silicon Valley is very, it's supposed to be non-hierarchical, isn't it? Open plan offices and no big, they never had, you know, special. I mean, he could easily have created an executive parking spot at Apple just for him. Like, he could have had a reserved spot.
But so he didn't.
He didn't, no, right. So the fact that he didn't, you know, kind of shows that he paid, mind to this egalitarian culture that you know, Apple and the larger and the rest of Silicon Valley abides to. Silicon Valley is very much like that, isn't it? It's very casual. You know, he wore jeans and sneakers, and there was no sort of airs and graces. His predecessor, Gilbert Amelio, who was like more old school, he built this huge palatial executive office for himself that Jobs refused to with an ensuite bathroom, I think. And, kind of couches and all sorts of stuff. And Jobs, you know, hated it and refused to go in there. He took it this sort of little tiny office up on the fourth floor that was very humble. And he never really sort of had it, you know, decked out with any kind of fancy stuff. So, I don't know. Yeah, yes and no.
That would be me. If I were working at Apple and I had the power that Steve Jobs had, I would have like a full-on executive suite. There would be people in there fanning me with grape leaves, feeding me grapes. I'd have it like dressed like a Pharaoh's lounge. Like everyone would be wearing like gold and like leather, and I would just be in there shirtless.
Or orgies all the time, like Caligula.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Not all the time. I mean, like twice a week max. But you know, it would be palatial in there, and of course, no eye contact would be allowed anywhere on the grounds.
Right, everyone's when they come in, everyone's going to drop to the floor, right, and start genuflecting.
And they don't have to drop, but you know, they have to gradually get onto one knee, and they have to address me as "Yes, me lord," you know, as I walk through the halls.
Are you going to have a big throne with swords sticking out of it?
Now, there's a great idea. I'm going to let you be my personal footrest once I become executive at Apple. You can just sit there all day on your hands and knees, on my feet on your back. But one's going to be treated better than you, LK. You're going to get top of the line scraps for lunch.
Great. That sounds like a great opportunity. Thanks so much.
All right. That's all I got. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there, shall we? That's all the cult casts we have for you guys this week. But hey, if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, or if you want to talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned in today's show, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Buster's BST3R. Leonard is at LKaney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Well, thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Gobble, gobble, y'all. Oh, it's too early. I got to wait till next week to do the gobble, gobble.
Oh, I don't know. That sounds really good.
Making me hungry.
For a good gobble. It's never too early for a good gobble. Gobble, gobble, y'all. I think that's Tim Cook's personal life motto. Life's too short to not gobble. That's too long. I'm going to have to work on that.
Hello?
There it is.
That's working.
Sounds loud and clear. Crystal clear. Too clear, if you ask me.
Freaky. Is it like I'm back there in a few feet away? Weird. So I just have to restart Chrome and then it works.
Oh, nice.
Did you have Chrome open all day?
Oh, it's been open for months, yeah.
Okay. For months? Well, gee.
Oh, God.
That might be the problem. Is it normal to have it open for months with 114 tabs?
Yeah, right. How'd you know the exact number of tabs? That's freaky.
I figured I'd be close.
Huh, yeah.
Yep. All right, let's do some reviews of the show notes. It's going to be one of those episodes where I just talk and you guys listen the whole time.
Exactly, I was going to say. Well, let's start with a 2.5-hour rant about the new MacBook video card.
Well, I'm not going to rant about it for 2.5 hours. 30 minutes just, max. Yeah. And then I'm going to tell you my solution. I got a solution all worked out.
Does it involve a note comprised of letters cut out of different newspaper headlines and pasted together?
Wait, did I tell you this already?
Hold on, we need to save these jokes for the Cultcast.
That was a good one, Lewis. Why did you use it already? Now the whole rest of the show is going to be boring.
Right.
Copy, paste, repeat.
I'm not too good to copy your laughs and insert them into my jokes later in the show. I'm not above that. Okay, well, I mean, there's not really a whole lot to talk about this week. This is the best I could find. Next week's going to be even worse.
When are we going to do it the day after Thanksgiving?
No, let's do it Wednesday.
Isn't that Thanksgiving?
Oh, my God.
No, Wednesday's always on Thursday. Thanksgiving's always on Thursday. What country are you from?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. How long have you been in the U.S.?
When is it?
It's wow. Only ever on Thursday.
It's on Thursday?
It's always on Thursday.
Is it really? Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Because that's the way the founding fathers designed it. It's in the Constitution.
Is it the third week of November or something?
I think it's the third Thursday.
The second to the last. Yeah. Third Thursday of the month or second to the last Thursday of the month.
Yeah.
Huh. I never knew that. Thanks for telling me.
Wow. How long have you been here? 30 years?
Yeah, like 26.
I just show up. I eat the turkey. I don't ask questions.
I know, right. Exactly.
No wonder. Did you pass their citizenship test yet?
I got it
through
my dad.
He got a freebie. He didn't even have to apply for it. That's the problem here.
Oh, really?
They just gave him one because his dad's an American.
And I'm a totally obnoxious, you know, completely obnoxious Brit. I don't know the words to the national anthem. I don't know anything about fucking George Washington.
Well, if you ever want to know anything about George Washington, you let me know. I know everything.
I do have to put up with a lot of shit on July 4th, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, I bet it's unbearable.
Yeah, it is.
All the drunk Americans telling you to F off.
I know. I bet you hate this holiday, don't you?
F off, Brett. You're like, I'm actually American. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, it was 300 years ago.
We like holding a grudge.